Hello, and welcome to the CJPME Debrief Podcast, a project of Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, and a proud member of the Harbinger Media Network. Together, we discuss developments and issues in Canada's relationship with Palestine and the broader Middle East. Through our conversations, we make sense of events in the region and how people in Canada can respond. On this episode, I'm joined by Emma Paling of The Breach to talk about the recent discovery that the Bank of Montreal gave a $90 million loan to Israel's largest weapons company, Elbit Systems. This is a company which has been involved in the construction of Israel's apartheid wall and whose drones have been used to kill Palestinians in Gaza. We discuss Elbit's human rights record, the Canadian government's own contracts for military technology from Elbit, and why some investors have decided to divest from the company. My name is Michael Buechert, Vice President of CJPME and the podcast host for today. And I'm excited to be joined by Emma Paling, journalist and coordinating editor at The Breach. She was previously an editor and reporter with HuffPost Canada, where she covered Ontario politics, and her work has appeared in CBC News and Vice. Welcome to the podcast, Emma.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, can you tell us a little bit about The Breach and how you got involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Breach is a new media outlet that just launched in 2021. We're an independent outlet. We're funded by readers and by grants. We have an online site and we do videos and we produce a lot of long form investigative journalism and explainer videos about politics and news. And we try to cover issues like colonialism and climate change, but with a bit of a different take. We try to really imagine alternative futures in addition to talking about, you know, the harm that is done by corporations and by pollution and climate change today. So yeah, it's an exciting place to work. I got involved last year as a coordinating editor, and now I'm on full time. So I'm excited to help us produce a bit more content and find some new contributors.
Great. Yeah, The Breach is super cool. And actually, you also have a podcast. The Breach has a podcast as well, which is part of the Harbinger Media Network, which is this community of progressive independent podcasts across the country, which the CJPME Debrief is also a member. So that's cool as well.
But amazing.
Your new article in The Breach, can you give us a brief overview of what you found in your reporting?
Yeah, for sure. So we found a document that listed the details of a loan that the U.S. subsidiary of an Israeli company called Elbit had received. So Elbit Systems of America got a pretty massive loan. It's $500 million, so $500 million from six creditors. Five of them are American banks, including Wells Fargo and Capital One, but BMO was also one of the creditors. So we estimated that BMO pitched in about $90 million for this total loan that provided $500 million in funding for Elbit.
Right. Really significant amounts of money there. And what is problematic about Elbit exactly? What are some of the types of things that it services that it provides in Israel and around the world?
So in Israel, Elbit is really deeply intertwined with the military. They hire a lot of their top executives are former generals and figures from the Israeli military. They also have a U.S. subsidiary, but the U.S. company offers all of the same products as the Israeli branch of the company. So they offer products like armed drones, drones that we know have been involved in airstrikes on Gaza, drones that we know have been involved in, you know, botched airstrikes that have killed children instead of, you know, what the Israeli military would say they were aiming for militants. And Elbit also provides a lot of surveillance equipment. So they specifically developed surveillance equipment that was used in what's called the apartheid wall between Israel and the West Bank, a wall that has been called illegal by the International Criminal Court. And those are the types of products that Elbit has also brought to America and sold to the U.S. government for use on the border between the U.S. and Mexico.
Right. Yeah. Very much complicit in very oppressive practices around the world. You mentioned the drones, and that's something CJPME has done some digging on, because Canada has itself contracted a drone from Elbit, and maybe we can talk more about that later. But Elbit actually supplies about 85% of the drones that are used by the Israeli military. Its drones, as you say, have killed civilians. They've been used in attacks on Gaza in 2014, in 2021, last year in August during the 3-day bombardment. In many cases, complicit in killing civilians, and as well, Elbit technology involved in sort of more operational technology that sort of accelerates the targeting process. So might not be involved necessarily in weapons themselves, although they are also, but also in the technology that determines where is the target, how to intervene, and making that sort of making the Israeli military even more efficient at killing. So there's a lot of ways in which they're very much invested in these things, which makes the fact that Canadian money, you know, is going to invest in this company, that's quite alarming.
Can I add a couple of
please.
Things? Yeah. So to your point that you just made, it's a really good point. So in the case that I had mentioned in Elbit's involvement in the 2014 war with Gaza. So it was one of their drones that was doing surveillance. We don't actually know which specific type of drone killed these four kids that were playing on a beach, but it was specifically an Elbit drone that was doing surveillance that provided images. Mm. So the Israeli military said that this was a Hamas area, that it was like Hamas leaders that they were targeting. And they used images from an Elbit drone to determine that they should do an airstrike. And it was actually four little boys who were 10 and 11 years old, who were cousins playing on a beach. And some of their other cousins were present. And the reporting on what those kids went through is just like really heart-wrenching. Like the whole family's lives have been ruined. And one of the other really interesting things that I found in my reporting was that Elbit's U.S. subsidiary actually allows it to receive government funding from the U.S. So the U.S. provides foreign aid to Israel. Some of that money is specifically for military funding. And because Elbit has a U.S. subsidiary, they can receive some of that money. It's in a law that Israel is every year is required to increase how much of its foreign aid it spends with American companies. So U.S. taxpayers provide foreign aid for Israel that Israel has to spend with American companies.
Right.
So these Israeli companies have U.S. subsidiaries. So U.S. taxpayers are essentially subsidizing the manufacturing of weapons for the Israeli military to use in the occupied territories.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. And the also I wanted to mention that the instance you were talking about before of the four children on a beach, I think a lot of people will remember that it was very much a horrific incident that was widely reported. They were playing soccer at the time, very clearly not involved in any hostilities, to say the least. And I didn't know about the distinction that it was actually the surveillance function of Elbit, not the military aspect necessarily, but it shows you how intertwined these are. That's interesting. How did you discover this revelation about the fact that BMO had this loan to Elbit?
So we got a tip from someone who actually didn't want their name to be in the article, but we got a tip about some research that had been done but had not been published. So the actual researcher was happy to be interviewed, which was interesting. So his name was Ward Warmerdam, and he's a researcher with a company called Profundo in the Netherlands that does like financial research for social justice organizations. There was a consortium of organizations, I think it was like 20 different organizations, Palestinian advocacy organizations and other social justice groups in Europe that produced a report on the European financial ties to companies that operate specifically in illegal settlements. So the research that got published was all on European companies, but they had found this information about Canadian companies, including BMO, that was just sitting there and it hadn't been published because it wasn't relevant to that report. So we were happy to make it public for Canadians.
Right. So who knows how many other deals are out there that we don't know about because they're sort of subsumed under these European loans and other projects like that. Well, that's really interesting and that's really useful to have that information about what BMO is doing. Are there any other Canadian banks that we know to be invested in Elbit?
Yes. Scotiabank actually is Elbit's largest foreign shareholder, which was just disclosed last year. So Scotiabank owns over $400 million US in shares of Elbit, which represents 5% of the company. So Scotiabank is actually a major part and a huge player in Elbit's operations. And there is a campaign by a group called Some of Us to get Scotiabank to divest. So there's a petition that over 10,000 Canadians have signed, including a lot of Scotiabank customers and shareholders, to get them to divest. And I believe Some of Us has tried to engage with BMO. They've at least requested meetings about BMO's loan to Elbit, and they haven't heard. They're just getting stonewalled by BMO, which was my experience as well. They didn't respond to any of my questions, and they have a phone number for media to call. And when you call it, it's just an out of service number.
Okay. Yeah. So they're not exactly being forthcoming about any of this.
No, I don't think they're interested in talking about it or answering any questions.
Right. Well, yeah, that's really interesting. It's interesting that Canadian banks are so heavily invested in this Israeli military company. But as you know, something that I alluded to earlier, the Canadian government itself is not setting a very good example and actually is providing more than $44 million worth of contracts with Elbit for various technology. In 2020, Canada signed a $36 million contract with Elbit for a Hermes 900 Starliner, which is a drone which is supposedly a civilian version of one of Elbit's armed lethal drones, although it's actually built for both civilian and military dual purposes. Supposedly, this is going to be used for surveillance in the Arctic for environmental reasons. That's how they're pitching it. But I mean, as you noted, the surveillance aspect of Elbit is itself part of Israel's military capabilities and is very much complicit in attacks on civilians, the general sort of state of military oppression of the Palestinian people. I guess it also raises questions of whether these drones will be used to surveil protests or other sorts of, you know, things outside of what they're initially pitching this drone for. In addition to that, Canada also gave almost $9 million to Elbit last year, or at the end of 2021, for what they call battle management technology. And again, this is the types of things they've been using in Gaza. They actually market it as field proven, which means that this is technology that has been tested on Palestinians in a combat setting, and now it's ready for Canadian market. And it was used in the 2021 attack on Gaza. Supposedly, this technology will be used to support Canadian air missions and joint task force operations. So this is absolutely, military technology from a company that really has blood on its hands, which is really awful.
Yeah, and I would just say, like, that was a phrase that really struck me as well in my research, was field proven. It's on like the public listings on Elbit's website for like almost all of its products. And Elbit, although it still makes a lot of money in Israel, it actually makes most of its money now in North America. So these contracts with the Canadian government and the US government are not insignificant. Like they're providing most of the revenue to this company.
Right. And yeah, I mean, just the idea that sort of that Canada would be benefiting from this technology that, oh, it's been tested in the field using the neutral language, but it actually means that it's been used to kill Palestinians. And yeah. And now, you know, that our own military and surveillance capabilities get to be enhanced because of that experience is really very grotesque and unfortunate. And which is why we've had a campaign calling on Canada to revoke these contracts, that Canada absolutely should not be, contributing to the bottom line of this company or engaging in its products. But, you know, you mentioned that in your article that there have been financial institutions, unlike the Canadian government, unlike these Canadian banks, that actually have decided to divest from Elbit for various reasons. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of large pension funds, including the Australian government's public pension fund, and I believe the Norwegian government's pension fund, that have dropped all their investments or banned future investments in Elbit. And the big UK bank, HSBC, has also divested from Elbit. So those choices were specifically tied to allegations that Elbit produces cluster bombs. So it's a specific type of munition that is banned by most countries, because similar to landmines, it's exactly what it sounds like, a cluster of small bombs that cover a large area. And so some of them don't detonate right away and can remain active for a long time. So there's obviously very good reasons why they've been banned. And Elbit denies producing cluster bombs, but the companies that divested, there's a Guardian article about it. They said, basically without explaining, you know, we have very good reason to believe that Elbit does produce these weapons. Like, we wouldn't divest if it wasn't true.
Right. Yeah. And I think another one of the reasons why a company divested too was about Elbit's involvement in the apartheid wall, which has been found by the International Court of Justice to be illegal, and I think they divested on that basis. So all of these cases really related to not just like horrible, like atrocious behavior, but actually illegal activity and involved in walls and cluster bombs, which are actually violations of international law and various treaties. Definitely leaders in this, but unfortunately we don't see a lot of other institutions joining them yet.
I do think that's a particularly egregious example with the like illegal apartheid wall that Elbit was then able, it developed technology specifically to help Israel create this illegal apartheid wall, and then it went to the US and was able to make money selling itself as an expert on borders based on that experience. And then it got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contracts with the US government to create these like surveillance towers along the US border with Mexico. And a lot of these things are difficult to track because Elbit has so many different subsidiaries in Israel. It might be like three or four different companies with different names that created this technology, but they're all owned by Elbit. And in the US, it's the same case.
Right. There's actually also a subsidiary in Canada, in Halifax, Dartmouth, actually, I think is involved more in sort of naval technology, but nonetheless is a subsidiary of Elbit. And I mean, yeah, it's the issue of secrecy is definitely concerning, and it's even a bigger issue in Canada. There's very little information in general about, for example, weapons that are produced in Canada by Canadian companies, whether they're Elbit subsidiaries or not, and where they go and what they're used for. Almost none of that information is disclosed. There could be many companies that are contracting in different ways with Elbit systems, and we may never know about it because it's all behind closed doors, which makes it extremely hard to hold anyone accountable for any of this. Another issue, I guess, that sort of makes it difficult to get accountability is there's maybe questions about, you know, who's responsible for this loan? Is it the Bank of Montreal, or is it it's the American subsidiary of BMO? What should we, you know, should we think of this subsidiary as a different company than BMO itself, or is BMO ultimately responsible for this?
No, I don't think that we should think of them as separate companies. Like, even the way that you described it, it's the U.S. branch of BMO, right? It's part of BMO's business. And BMO is, I think, working really hard to get into the U.S. market. So it is, BMO is ultimately the parent company for BMO Harris. And BMO, like, even the BMO Harris website does not have that much information. Like, it redirects you in some cases to BMO, and BMO offers its US branches as a selling point to Canadian customers. Like, if you travel to the US or if you use US dollars, like, we have these branches in the US. So it's very integrated with its US or with its Canadian offerings.
Right. So absolutely, we should not let them use that as a distraction from our calls on them to divest from loans like this. And hopefully we'll see more public pressure in the future, thanks to reporting such as yours. What is your own takeaway from this story after doing this reporting?
Good question. I think my takeaway is that big corporations like Elbit, who are providing the means for the Israeli military to do what it does and oppress Palestinians, can't do so without financing. Big companies need large amounts of money, like loans that are $500 million. And, you know, Scotiabank is the largest foreign shareholder with hundreds of millions of dollars invested in Elbit, and that's still only 5% of the company. Like, they have huge amounts of capital available to them. And so Canadians and Americans who are customers of these banks, I guess, need to use any leverage that they have, because I do think divestments in the long run can make a difference. If it was hard for Elbit to get financing, it would be harder for it to produce the products that it's currently producing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Emma, for joining to tell us about what you've discovered and reported on. We really appreciate the work that you're doing, and thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
If you're a listener and you've enjoyed our podcast today, please subscribe to our channel. We're on all the major audio podcast platforms. If you can, please leave a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find our program and learn about the issues. This podcast is a project of Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, CJPME, and seeks to advance its mission to empower Canadians of all backgrounds to promote justice, development, and peace in the Middle East. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions about our podcasts or topics, please feel free to email us at info@cjpme.org. Thanks to all our supporters who helped make this podcast and all of our activities possible. That's it for now. Thanks for listening, and see you again soon.